Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world.
The best of Christians are going to go through some things. The trials of a good man, woman, isn't always created to themselves or by them, nor sinfully pulled upon them, but sometimes they're laid out for them to fall into.
Our guest speaker today is our very own associate minister, the exceptional Reverend Ernest Polk, and he titles his message, Turning Trials into Triumph. And he explains that in this life, yeah, we're going to go through some things. We have the victory through Jesus Christ who overcame the world.
It would be crazy for us to think or to expect one's Christian life to be easy when Jesus himself warns us in John 16:33. He says, in this world ye shall have trouble. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some trouble, some tribulation. But here's the good part. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this world.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue, in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 down through 9. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Let's pray. Our Father and our God. Again, Lord, we are so grateful to you. We ask, Master, that you would remove self out of the way and challenge us all to a higher order of living and understanding in your word. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 And so we see that life is filled with all kinds of trials and temptations, right? And throughout the Bible, we have seen people who have turned defeats into victory and trials into triumphs. And instead of being the victim, they have become victors. Are you hearing me in the back? All right. I'm just reminded of the three Hebrew boys. You know those three Hebrew boys who had seemingly a trial. They had a temptation. The temptation was, do we decide to walk away from our convictions? Do we succumb to this trial that has been placed before us and fall into the temptation to worship this foreign god? Or do we hold fast to the true and living God? And so James chronicles or narrates for us that we can have the same experience today, no matter what the trials are. And the trials are those things that go on the outside of our beings, right? You do know that. Those obstacles, those roadblocks designed to impede or hinder your progress or your achievements. Sierra was mentioning some things in school that she was, you could just tell that there was some things going on, and yet she pressed her way through. That's what this text is really all about. That's really what James is trying to remind the believer, because he is talking to the believer. Yeah. He's talking to us, y'all. He's saying that you may have some trouble, you may have some obstacles, you may have, but hold on. God will. He will see you through. You walking with me with this thing, and I'm certainly appreciative. You know, we talked about those trials, but temptation, on the other hand, are those things that are in the mind. You know that it is the psychological, the emotional, the subjective philosophy, and we war against from the inside out. Yeah. You know those pesky varmints that try to crush and annihilate, and destroy one's personality and character. That's what temptation does. But I heard somebody say, through faith in Jesus Christ, yeah, we can experience victory. And I like that today, because that's how we'll combat those temptations. We'll look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we're going to make it. Are you praying for me? All right. Matthew Henry suggests that James is implying that troubles and afflictions may be the lot of the best of Christians. Oh, yeah, I think I better say that again, because some of us were taught like I was taught, raised in a family like I was raised. You know, there was a separation. I'm talking about people from Polk County. There was some who was Christian folk, and then there was those who ain't. You know, and they show up at the picnic and family reunion, and it was a separation. Sure enough, it was. It really was. I mean, you know, they separated themselves at the table. There was there was fruit and watermelon and all of that was there. It separated them. And so some believed, or some talked about the Christian folk, and the Christian folk talked about them, and they began to say and have this ideology that once you step into the Christian, that everything was all right. You're not going to have any pitfalls. You're not going to have any obstacles. No. And we believed that for a while. We believe that for a while, for a time, but we've come to discover that those who are in Christ, get ready. Yeah, get ready, because the battle really, it's on. It starts when you say yes to Jesus. Yeah, it really do. You are aligned with the enemy. You are partying and sometimes it comes back every now and then. You feel like you wanna. It's the truth. You know. No. He says that once you come into contact with Jesus, you're not the same. But ultimately, you are now on the battlefield for the Lord. Talking about being fit for the fight, talking about turning your trials into triumphs. And we said Warren Wisby talked about that thing that the best of Christians. The best of Christians are going to go through some things. He states that the trials of a good man, woman, isn't always created to themselves or by them, nor sinfully pulled upon them, but sometimes they're laid out for them to fall into. Yeah. That's what happens. It's laid out for you. You know those things, or those people that come in contact with you that we pass through and we see. You know those ones that will lay a trap for you. That's the picture here that James is painting for us. That's what Matthew Henry wants to point out. But thanks be to God. So because of God's grace. Oh, no. See, that was a shout moment. It really was your cue. But thanks be to God, the Christians is expected to exercise joy. Yeah. You read the text. I mean, I'm still in the text. It says, verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, us, when we meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy when somebody lay a snare out for you, a trap for you because of your convictions in Christ. Count it all Count it all joy. It must be because something on the end, they see something on the inside. Yeah, you got a show enough relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. Warren Wiersbe, and notice what he says, if we're going to turn trials into triumphs, we must obey these four imperatives or commands. And here it is. The four is this. In verse 2, it's count. In verse 3, it's no. In verse 4, it's let. In verse 5, it's ask. I'm done. The sermon is over with, y'all. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. That's it. That's it. Because if you got that, you really don't need me. Yeah. So let me say it again. He says that if we're going to turn trials into triumphs, we must obey the four imperatives. Are you hearing me in the back? Yeah, she nodded her head. I see one nodded. You nodded your head. All right. These four imperatives or commands is this. Count, know, let, ask. In other words, if we're going to be fit for the fight, these four essentials for victory in trials and temptations, they must be observed and adhered to. They have to be. So a couple of observations, and honest to goodness, I will be out of your way. And so we said count, verse 2, right? It says count it all joy. A joyful attitude, and you've heard it before, that your attitude determines your altitude. Yeah, it really does. My sisters and brothers, God tells us to expect trials. Wait a minute. God, you want me to expect trials? You mean I got to go through something? You know, but I'm telling you about my family, y'all. They used to say that, you see, when you come into Christ, everything is all right. It is, because that's the right perspective, because God will see you. He will aid you. He will be with you. God, you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the God that they serve, that we serve. But hold on. You still got to go through. You still have to deal with that thing. You still have to deal with the struggles in this life. And so that's what he says here. He tells us that you got to expect the trial. So if it is not if you fall into various testing, but when you fall in various testing. That's the NIV, that's the King James Version, that's Ernest Polk's Version, that's people of Polk County, that's everybody know. Know that. You're going. Let me see, if I was in Tyler, Texas, I say, you gonna go through this thing. Can I tell you something? It would be crazy for us to think or to expect one's Christian life to be easy. It would be crazy for us to think that. When Jesus himself warns us in John 16:33, he says, in this world ye shall have trouble. That's Jesus talking. In this world, you gonna have some struggles. You're gonna have some trouble, some tribulation. But here's the good part in that in 16 of John, the 33rd verse. He says, but the latter part is the best part of all. But be of good cheer. I've overcome. I've overcome this world. So hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Hide me behind Jesus. Let me walk. Wait a minute. He walks with me and talks with me. He tells me that, yes, that I am his own. You know when she penned that song, she really meant that I'm the apple of his eye. He's not going to let me fall too far. He's not going to let me go astray. He'll come back here. Come on back here. You've gone a little bit too further. But that's the further. You've gone too far. That's the God. That's the God that we serve. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. I've overcome the world. You know, there's a woman that I was fortunate enough to be, you know, doing ministry out. They asked, you guys asked us to go and pray for folk in the hospital. And I find that, you know, I love to do it. I do. I love to be called upon to go pray because it, you know, it just feels good. It's just right. It's just right. Because somebody prayed for me. And somebody prayed for my sad circumstance. Yeah, yeah. And God showed up in the midst of, right? And so this I'm going to pray for this bedridden woman. And I get there and I go to talk to her, and she says, you know, I'm looking for a new testimony. Mother, come again. What you say? I'm looking for a new testimony. Baby, you ought to be of good cheer. You come in here somber. What, I don't know what you were thinking you were coming to see. Mother, I'm taking you there. I just want to paint this picture. So with a sanctified imagination, would you go with me? So I'm in this room and she's bedridden and I'm talking to her, but she's talking to me. You catch that? You catch that? Yes, I'm trying to, you know, muster up the, you know, that pseudo Christianism. You know. I want you to know that I'm pious. I'm coming to pray for you. No, that won't do. That just won't do, because this bedridden woman says that I'm looking for a new testimony, and so you ought to be of good cheer. She said to me, just a little talk with Jesus, son. Yeah, let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. You know. She began to, and it began to feel good. You know. She went to the run, and she says, "Yeah. Find a little prayer, we'll turn in, and you know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it all right." That's what this woman spoke to me, and I just got indignant. I did. I forgot where I was. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. She said, yes, son, go on and praise him. Go on and praise him. I'm here for a new testimony. It's for the next generation, is what she said to me. Hallelujah! That's what it's all about. Yeah, let my life, yeah, speak for me. In Revelation, he said, how do we overcome the enemy? By our testimony and the blood of Jesus. That's how we're going to do this thing. You, I know what you're saying. It's turning trials into triumphs. It's being fit for the fight. And so you asked the question, I know you did. This is the question you were asking. You said, preacher, why did you share with us about the saint bedridden? And I would say to you, well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because of her persistence. Her persistence in service and praise. My brothers and sisters, persistence is continuing trying even though it's difficult. It is the state of pushing beyond the normal. Are you there in the text? It is. It's counting the cost. It's counted all joy. You know what it is to you looking at your life and you still through the struggles, through the pain, you're able to count it all. Count it all. That's verse 2. Count it all joy. Yeah. Yeah, life sends us many, many different directions. Those pitfalls, those things that we go through. Life is uncertain. But what is sure is the presence of Almighty God. And so the presence, the persistence is this. It is push. That is, pray until something happens. You've heard it said before. And so what are you going to do? Let's continue the effort to do or to achieve in spite, despite the difficulties. Let me say it this way on my way to the next point. Persistence and perseverance isn't an attribute or a character that one just happens to have. No. You cannot just wake up and have persistence inside of you. You can't just come along and say, I need some perseverance, so here it is. And you know, I mean, we like to go to McDonald's and get it and Burger King to have it our way, but it just ain't that way. No. Persistence and perseverance, it's developed. It's developed. And I'm reminded, because we're in this warfare, we're trying to be fit for the fight. We're looking at turning trials into triumphs. You know, in 1990, there was a fella, a boxer by the name of James Buster Douglas. And James Buster Douglas had the awesome task to take on the Iron Mike Tyson. And you know, they were in Tokyo, ready to have this fight. And you know the end story. Y'all know what happened. Buster Douglas whooped on Tyson pretty. Oh, Lord have mercy. I felt sorry for Mike Tyson. Man, I was in my living room in California. I felt sorry for Mike Tyson. But you know, they came to him and asked him, what was it? How is it that you prepared? Or what did you do? What was the blueprint to beating, you know, the one that was undisputed heavyweight champion of the world? What did you do? James said, I began to train myself. He said, I knew that Mike Tyson was knocking folk out past, they wouldn't go past the fifth round. He said, if I trained myself, if I could just make it to the sixth round, then going forward, it's all me. And it really is like that. If you're looking to develop a perseverance and persistence, you got to make up in your mind that you're going to develop yourself, that not that you're just going to deal with it right here on the surface right here, but you're going to see yourself all the way through. Let my life speak for me. I'm developing to be fit for this fight. I'm turning my trials into triumphs. The second thing, because we said that we had a couple of points, and honest to goodness, I do, so would you indulge me for just a moment? So the second is no, right? We said that imperative was no. That is an understanding mind. An understanding mind. So what is that? You got to have a made-up mind if you're going to fight this fight. If you're going to win this battle, turning your trials into triumphs. You got to have a made up mind. Do you see it there in verse 3? I know you do. Yeah. No. It's there, huh? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, right? And so, what is it that we have come to know? I'm glad you said that, or you asked that, because it's in the text. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's it. That's a pretty good thing. You say, well, what is so exciting about that? Oh, well, there's wonderful things exciting about that. I mean, when you're trying of, you know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. My sisters and brothers, our faith is always being tested. Yeah, it is. God calls us to live by faith. And so when we're tested, it only brings out what the best that's inside of you. You know, the good stuff always seem to come to the top. Yeah, to the surface. Amen. But know this. It says the testing of our faith proves that we are truly born again. Remember the line that we drew in the sand, and we were able to step on the other side because of what God has done in our lives. Yes, know this. Know this, he says. The word trying can be translated approval. The word trying here in the text can be translated to approval. And I believe that Peter might help us understand it all a little bit better. In 1 Peter 1:7, he says that the trials of your faith, he says that the trials of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Man, you mean my faith, the trials of my faith, yeah, is more precious than gold and the gold that perishes. You know, when they making the gold, you know, the pulling out the impurities, they gotta heat it up. And all of the bad stuff, you know, bubbles away, and they're able to skim that off, and what's left is the good stuff. And that's what Peter was suggesting to us, as likewise James is suggesting to us, likewise God is saying to us that what you're going through, your troubles, your struggles, it's better than what you say is precious gold. Your faith. And so God's approval of our faith is precious because it assures us that our faith is genuine. Oh, have mercy. Yeah, it proves that it's genuine. You want to know where a person is at? You want to know if you really got a friend? You have some problems. You be a dollar short than to a biscuit. Oh, I've been there. I've been there. Oh man, I was in Popeye's Chicken, and man, I was 52. It came to $6.57, and my brother stood there and put his hands in his pocket and turned his head. I'm looking like, and his eyes just went way up in the ceiling, and Lord have mercy, man. Your friends, you'll know if it's genuine or not. But God says that his approval of our faith is precious because it assures us that our faith is genuine. Know this. Trials work for believers and not against them. I'm going to say that again. Trials work for the believer and not against them. We've heard it this way in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good. Oh, yeah. You know, the other thing that we learn is the second point to the knowing and knowing, and trials are used to help us mature. Mm-hmm. That's what it says there. It's used to help us mature. And so what does God want to produce most in our lives? I know you see it here in the text. It's patience. God wants you to learn patience. It's endurance. You remember Buster Douglas? He said, if I could just make it so far. It's endurance, right? The ability to keep going when things are tough. We glory, honor in the fact that God knows just how much we can bear. He knows just how much you can bear. And so here it is in Romans 5:3-4. It says, we glory in knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Oh, man. That's where it's at. If you're going to be able to turn these trials into triumphs, you got to have some hope. Yes, sir. Hope. Hope is the difference that'll hold you when Katrina hits. When those battles, storms in life hits, hope will hold you. see you through. When folk run out on you, leave you, even at the altar. The hope that you had. You didn't need that rascal, no way. But hope is what will hold us. That's the development that God does. He takes us through the process. It is patience, it is endurance, and then, of course, that experience brings forth hope. It's because you have gone through some things. You're able to look back. Yeah, you're able to look back and say, if it had not been, here's the hope. If it had not been for, wait a minute, here's the hope. If it had not been for God, on my side, where would I be? And so because of that, I'm able to keep pressing on. And that's what he said, press. Paul says, I press towards the mark of a higher calling. That higher calling is in Christ Jesus. These knowing is making us mature, right? So you've got me going. It says, so we glory in knowing that tribulation worketh patience, right? And we said, it brings forth hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. It is a courageous Christian that perseveres and stays persistent in the face of suffering and difficulties. But you know, immature people are impatient. I'm gonna say it again, just in case you might know somebody. But immature people are impatient. Huh? Impatience and unbelief usually go hand in hand. Impatient and unbelief usually go hand in hand. But God wants to make us patient, because that is the key to every other blessing. I know you see it. The only way the Lord can develop patience and character in the lives of the believer is through trials. Endurance cannot be attained by reading a book, no, or even listening to a sermon, or even this sermon for that matter, no. But I'm praying that this message today will spark and encourage you. I pray that it does. And I think I'm right about it, because Isaiah 40 and 28 down to 31, let me just cut through it, cut across it. It says, Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, what happens? He fainteth not, neither is weary. 29 says, but he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he gives strength. 30 says that even the young shall faint and be weary and utterly fall. But wait. But wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He shall mount up with wings as eagle. He shall run and not be weary. He shall walk and not faint. Talking about knowing what God will do. The third observation is this: let. Remember those words? Let. Let. And that is the mindset of let a surrendering will. Let's have a surrendering will. That surrendering will, the will that God cannot build our character without our cooperation. Yeah. Let me say that again. God, see, you have to submit yourself. You have to surrender to your will to God. God cannot build our character without our cooperation. You know, I found out something. Preacher, if we resist him, then he chastens us unto submission. And you know, I'm still struggling sometimes with those conversations that Big Mama and them used to have. Yeah, off of Harding Way there in the backwoods of Texas. I still can feel. I'm mid-age now, and I still can feel how, you know, I wasn't cooperating. and you know, they have a way of helping you to cooperate. Like so with God, isn't it? For his we're not you know, orphans. No. Something happened. You came into the son and daughtership. You came into the family of God when you said yes to him. So it is a dualship. It is a dual thing that's going on. I'm a son and daughter of the King, but I'm also a servant of the Most High. And somehow he seems to work that out. You're going to be obedient to him because you are a son and a daughter of the King. And so it is here, even here. He says that your character is going to be, you've got to cooperate. And if you resist him, he chastens us into submission. But if we submit to him, then he can accomplish his work in us. Remember the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is for God's perfect work. And he will have a finished product that is mature and complete. So for we are his workmanship. This work is known as sanctification, where God builds our character and we become more like Christ. There is another work that God does through us, that is service. Yeah, he builds our character to be Christ-like, but also he builds us to go out and work. You know, we come to church, and I've said it in times past, but I'll say it again today, that we come in to power up, but and then to ship out to serve. That's where it's at. You come to be lifted and to be encouraged and to be equipped to take this message out of these four walls and go where they at. You know where we used to be. I'm back at that picnic. You know, family talking about family, what you ain't got and what you don't have, and now that I'm in Christ, no, it's for you and I to go and beckon them to come. That's why you've been saved. You've been saved to serve. You've been saved to serve. And so God builds our character. And let me say this. In truth, God builds character before he calls to service. I'm going to say that again. God builds our character before he calls us to service. In other words, we must work, he must work in us before he can work through us. Oh, he can't place someone that's immature in front of someone to help lead and guide him. He can't place someone who has pity parties, you know, when things get rough and when you're trying to lead someone to Christ. No, your character has to be developed, meaning that you got to have some endurance, some stick-to-itness. Yeah, in order to see yourself through. You know, and you'll know that you got there because, you know, that endurance that's being developed, you'll be able to tell the story. I once was lost, but he brought me in. Yeah, I've had some heartaches. I've had some sickness, y'all. He touched me with the finger of love and a hand of mercy. Are you walking with me? How am I doing? Is it all right? It's all right. Yes, Okay. So remember we talked about, those imperatives, right? And those imperatives that and so far we have looked at the three, right? From James, so far, you know, we said we talked about count, which is a joyful attitude. We talked about know, that is an understanding heart. And we really hit on that let, huh? That is a surrendering will. You know, the last one is this. Yeah, the last one has to be this. The fourth one is this ask. You got to ask. And the ask is a believing heart. Yes, if you're going to ask him, yeah, you ought to have a believing heart. You know that you believing that he's going to do what you asked him to do. What sense does it mean to ask him of something and not believe that he's able to provide it or give it to you? That means, that is to say, that your confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Ken and Pell talk about, you know, God, and they said how, you know, it really doesn't matter who you believe in. You could actually believe in this rock. And he held this rock up, and he says, this rock doesn't breathe. And he's saying, you're pouring in your belief into that to make it a God. I said, oh, that's not right. That's not right. No. You don't understand. See how your philosophies and ideologies can warp you. Matter of fact, that'll keep you from heaven, y'all. Those crazy thinking. No, he says, ask, and you have to ask with a believing heart. Yeah, and what are you believing? See, when we go through the God-ordained difficulties, we got to know what to pray about. See, and isn't it interesting that James gives us the answer of how you ought to pray when you're going through those God-ordained, trials and situations. James answered in verse 5, he says that ask God for wisdom. And I began to say, why wisdom? Why wisdom? Why not grace? Why not grace? You know, I need grace. I need some grace. And then there's strength. I need to be strong. I really want to be strong. You know, I'm praying for, if you're going to pray and you got this connection with him, why does he pray for wisdom? And the answer is pretty clear, isn't it? He says, because wisdom cuts to the core. Wisdom helps us understand. And I'm done. I am. Wisdom helps us understand how to pray and what to pray for. Yes, we could have prayed for strength. But just like Samson, you need some wisdom to handle the strength. You could have prayed for grace, and and just like Saul, understand grace, but hold on here. You need wisdom how to apply that grace. That's why I'm so glad that James, Jesus' brother, pointed us to when we pray for wisdom, because it always helps us to understand that whatever circumstance we're in, it is for the glory of God. That's why Paul wrote, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wisdom helps me to understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Wisdom helps me understand that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. So then, what do you do? What do we do? We're going to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait on the Lord, and he will see you through. God bless you, and God keep you.
God bless Reverend Polk. What a mighty word we've received today. Amen. Amen. How to turn your trials into triumph. Amen. We ask everyone if you would stand at this time. You know the word of God.